My name is Danalyn Swaby, and I'm from Jamaica. So I am from the Jamaica Network of Rural Women Producers, and I'm a young farmer, and I'm also a development communication specialist.
So what is the composition of your organization in terms of age and gender?
Okay, so we are a female-based organization, being the Jamaica Network of Rural Women Producers. We have over 850 members, and they are distributed across the 14 parishes of Jamaica. And we also operate in clusters. So we have about 70 clusters across the parishes within different communities across Jamaica. And we have age ranges from 18 up to over 60. 70% of our membership would comprise of women aged 26 up to over 60.
And do you have a sense of the most common media that is being used in your country or your region? Say, is it radio, TV, social media?
My country or specific to the that my organization uses or my country?
So we start with your region and then your country.
Well, it's a combination of traditional and online media. Certainly social media has grown more prevalent and pervasive. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, more for the younger demographic, TikTok, we have online media. And of course, the average Jamaican is still locked into television, radio, and print media as their main news source. But social media has grown, and WhatsApp has also been one of the popular forms of communication within the online media space.
Then what are the most innovative communication elements that you think would impact your organization positively?
Well, so there's an innovative approach, and then there's a practical approach. So especially with my organization, we cater to rural-based women mostly, because especially with agriculture, you'll have that majority of women hail from rural communities. But with rural communities, we still have challenges. So and challenges that span access to data, the cost of data, and the sort of phones, the access to technology. So while, of course, you do have people who may have WhatsApp and other modalities, but sometimes there are limitations as to, you know, what they're able to afford. And so in communication, though you may have people who use social media, in terms of internal communication and what's more effective, WhatsApp is a main communication channel that we'll use. But of course, in terms of visibility and to highlight the work of the organization, we have social media. So we're active on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But in terms of engaging or network, we refer to ourselves as the network in short, then it means we'll normally use WhatsApp as some of these approaches. So, and in terms of innovation, it's what we share. So even for some of the awareness raising and engagement, we use WhatsApp as a channel to provide updates when it comes to climate-related disasters and so forth. Then we're sharing bite-sized and consistent messaging through WhatsApp, because that's what people, that modality reaches people directly, and it's cost-effective as well. We do have plans to introduce people to more digital literate modalities. So we do understand, like I said, it's about the access. So once they have the sort of smartphone that's compatible, and then, you know, some people may or may not, there's sometimes some apprehension in how familiar they are with certain kinds of technologies, certain kinds of online platforms. So we do plan to have training exercises to handhold people so they feel more comfortable. And of course, you know, we have to consider the resource support for them to be able to afford to consistently use these technologies, as well as access other online media platforms.
So how does your organization ensure inclusion of different type of members? Yours is a women organization, if I understand correctly. So how do you ensure inclusion of perhaps different kinds of women in?
So we're female based. So I think, it's relatively easier for people, for women and young girls to understand that here's an organization that caters to your needs. And it's about the sensitization and community mobilization opportunities that we offer. So usually when we have workshops, we have training events, it's an open call. And so At these activities, there are opportunities for first-time visitors to sign up and be a part of the network. And so the referrals, for persons who are existing members, through word of mouth, they will share the information about what we're doing. And if it is that you have other persons who are not familiar with the network interested, then it becomes an open call. So we ensure that a lot of the training and sensitization opportunities are not really members only or a closed group. So if we're interested women in agriculture and other rural women producers, they have an opportunity to be part and to sign up on the day that they are able to join and so forth. So it's not, we are mindful of not targeting activities specific to members only. It's about women with an interest in being a part of the organization as well.
Can you give us a bit of a sense of what types of specific issues that, specific to women, for example, or the members of your organization that you try to address from within?
Okay, so being a rural-based organization that caters to women and young girls in agriculture, we're aware that there are various intersections, especially when we think about the climate-related impacts on agriculture and women in agriculture. Primarily, female farmers are disproportionately impacted, not just by climate change, but some of the other socioeconomic issues. So limited access to land, limited access to finance, access to skills and training, and even access to markets. Those are some of the critical issues that women are always faced with. So with the network, we try to provide resource support through training, sensitization sessions, and also where possible for grant funding so we can help women. So for example, in Jamaica, with the impacts of climate change and a lot of communities and female farmers, they face water challenges or struggle with water woes. And so we have partnered with the Rural Agricultural Development Authority, that is a premier technical assistance agency or extension service delivery that will provide training in water harvesting, water management efficiency, and so on. And then we'd also provide boost water storage capacity for female farmers across Jamaica. So in the last year, we would have donated over 65 tanks within the year to help female farmers. So with the drought, that's a common challenge. Like I said before, even going back to COVID-19, we were impacted because Jamaica has climate sensitive sectors like tourism. And so with the cessation of visitors to the country, it meant that hoteliers did not need, there was a reduction in what would be supplied to the hotels, which also meant that there would have been a glut in what rural producers would be supplying. And so even lack of access to storage facilities would have affected us then, because then we would have an abundance of produce and then limited opportunities to store that. And so that's another example of, some of the issues that we face. So a lot of agriculture related issues, because like I mentioned with land, the structure of land ownership, sometimes the lands, it may be informal arrangements, it may be passed on through family, but there's no registered title. And so that becomes difficult even when you think about access to credit and accessing finance, because then you don't have collateral because something is not in your name. So those are some of the challenges that we're faced with. And even though we may have sensitization and training sessions of financial literacy, female farmers are risk averse as well, because now with not having access to collateral, and then not having the kind of traditional cash flow with lending, then it becomes, it's still a barrier. And I wanna also segue outside of climate related and agriculture issues, we also recognize the intersection of other things like gender-based violence. A lot of our female farmers, our moms, are as females, they are impacted in these ways. And so agriculture represents a very effective vehicle for economic independence, but it is still threatened because you have a lot of partners who sometimes they do not want women to be economically independent. And that's also a form of, financial abuse is also a form of gender-based violence as well. And so we have workshops and sensitization sessions that are also geared towards gender-based violence to bring awareness and to also to provide a support group and also opportunities and how they can navigate some of these challenges and provide market access through internal communication as well, or internal engagement as well. So when we have our workshops and trainings, that's an opportunity for the women in our network to be able to display their produce and products, and to also have referrals and to expand market access. You know, we facilitate participation in trade shows as well, so that they can make linkages on a local level, regional level, and even international level where their goods and produce are concerned, because it's not just agriculture. Agricultural produce that are our network members that they cultivate or they have. We also have producers that look at the value added and byproducts and cosmetics, so the soaps, the other natural cosmetics that are also made, jams, jellies, and agro processing products as well.